Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Hey everyone, this is GM Alex. I just needed to give a quick apology ahead of today's episode. Unfortunately, we had a bit of an issue recording this one. Long story short, as far as we can tell, a bunch of gremlins broke into the studio and stole the audio from every single mic except mine. I didn't think it would be that much of an issue, but I'm told that some people apparently enjoy listening to the players as well. Not sure I believe that. But seriously, we've put a bunch of extra time into making sure that you can hear everyone in this episode as clearly as possible, but we just wanted to apologise for the drop-off in quality compared to normal. It was only this episode that was affected, and we should be back to our normal quality from next week. Thanks for your patience and your understanding.
Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Brooklyn Orchard, Benjamin Nothing But BS Sussman, Slug Farm, Lottie Lynn, Valda Kylie, Emily Kellogg, Sarah Vakos, Monica Chielieska, Bojan Panic. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Welcome to episode 121 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me today I have...
Ben Meredith.
Bryn Monroe.
Lydia Nicholas.
And Helen Gould.
And who are you playing?
Chris Optric, Act Amsterdam.
How much love are we out of hand?
Sasha?
And Azu.
And everything is better than it could be.
No, it's terrible.
But it's better than it could
We're
be.
We're not dead.
That's... I mean, it was worse. It was worse.
It was worse when I thought the two of you were dead.
And now it's less worse.
We hit rock bottom.
Yep. Where?
We can go lower.
I guess that's a dangerous sentence. Yeah. We got pretty low. There's probably still...
You can go lower than willingly blowing yourself up as a viable strategy. There's...
That was awesome, and I regret nothing.
So, as a very quick recap, it's been a little longer for us, but we have the situation as follows. We have Hamid, and we have Sasha, and we have Azu. In
Sequel Gaming, we have a situation.
Those three are in Rome.
With two of the audience's favourite NPCs.
They're getting along famously with Einstein and technically a Plantagenet, which is a thing. And they are...
I've just realised he's put us in the most dangerous place. And then, with it being Alex, putting two of the favourite NPCs with us is basically a threat.
Oh, look at you! Look at you being good at GMing. Yeah, it's good.
Ransom note to the audience.
Yes.
Up those Patreon pledges or Ed gets it.
Oh, no. He's...
Don't do that.
I can take out both comic relief. You know, so... As it stands, you are about to begin your sort of hostage rescue in creepy, forbidden death building. I can't remember how much detail I went into with you beyond its layout. I don't think any of you passed any of your checks. So, creepy, forbidden death building. And meanwhile, we have Grizzop, who's been making friends.
Hello.
Most notably, you managed to actually get some information from Barrett, assuming that he writes it out properly and doesn't just... pull some kind of shenanigans on you.
That's all right, then I shoot him in the head with an arrow.
Yeah, like, I mean...
That was the threat.
That is the threat. And you also got to meet Temple of Hephaestus.
Mm-hmm.
And they were cool.
They were great.
They were all right. And so as it stands, I believe I'm probably going to start with Grizzop, of all things.
Hello.
I mean, hello!
Hello! So you have handed the bow over and blah, 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 and they're now beginning your construction.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next go-to?
Go back to... Wild via Barrett to update Wild and threaten Barrett a bit more if he hasn't written his stuff.
So let's go around to Barrett's first.
There is a cell guard waiting for you with a big old piece of paper.
Oh, lovely. Thank you.
Yep, no worries. Anything good?
Well, I haven't read it yet.
All right, yeah. They just stare at you. You might be onto the B team. So, things that you are reading. Barrett knows specifically that all of the chassis that you have been engaging with in the factory in Damascus were definitely being shipped to Japan. Mm-hmm. Specifically, he knows that they're being sent to the Shōin Institute on Okinoshima Island, which is off South Honshu. I can go into more detail if you want.
Shōin Institute.
Basically, yeah. Effectively, he has said the direct lines, like where to go, and has given you the like a little piece of advice, which is don't let anyone know you're getting there ahead of time.
Okay.
Oh, and wrote a pithy little joke at the end, which was take your swimming trunks.
That's a joke?
All right, Gizop's famous sense of humour strikes again.
Well, no, the problem is Barrett spent most of his life with people that had to laugh or die. And then I said, that's not a dog, that's my butler. Silence. Doesn't hone those skills quite so much.
That explains Wild.
But yeah, apart from that, it is a lot of just like nearest station info and things along those lines. He's basically written you a travel guide to that region.
Well, at least he's thorough.
I'll bang on his cell, say,
hey, yeah, thanks for the info. Guess you might get to live for another 6 months and we'll see about it after that. So have fun and settle in. You'll be spending a lot of time here.
He gives you a thumbs up. His mathsing appears to have spread from one corner into... He's powering towards the other corner of the room.
Oh, we're going for the whole creepy equation. Good luck, good luck. We've had a couple of those. Ass.
Walk away. Oh, point to the guard. Keep an eye on the mass. It could be something magical.
Oh, no, yeah, yeah. We just sweep it at the end of the night.
Oh,
fair enough then.
Cool. Carry on.
Yep.
Got to see Wild.
So... heading to Wild, and as it stands, he appears to be less centrally involved than he used to be, insofar as there's not lots of people going in and out of the office. In fact, he appears to be in a more obscure part of it. He stands up when you come in. He still looks all right, actually. It's almost like having slept did 90% of the work for him.
Is he still wearing the cuffs?
He is not, but let's see where that goes.
Watch out, where's the cuffs?
He shuffles out from behind the desk where they're wrapped around his ankle.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough. Did you move those, or...?
I mean, doesn't exactly look great going around in shackles, whereas this I can, you know, a bit less obtrusive.
All right, well, your choice. Anyway, I went to Hephaestus. They're building as much as they can. It will take 24 hours or so.
How much did that cost you?
Something. Something I didn't care about, so free?
Oh, cool.
Anyway, also got this from Barrett.
Hand over the sheaf of papers.
So,
Ooh, okay.
Yep.
He's kind of hesitating and thinking, are you thinking Rome first then?
Ideally, I'd like to stop my friends and save people.
If we can hold off, I did tell you that this was the most important thing.
I can send some people ahead of time, you know, check out the local beaches, you know.
You specifically said not to do that.
Okay, we can go in blind.
His advice, if we want to trust him, which... his life literally depends on this going well. If I survive this, I'll come back and kill him if it was wrong.
Okay, fair. Well, in that case, I've been struggling to find a way to get you to Rome. I may have a lead, but it's not one I can pursue for you.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily...
spit it out.
A VIP in this particular group of people.
Just what? Get on with it.
I got reports that there is a group of Harlequins in Damascus. We were going to move on them, but given that we're going, quote, off the grid, they might be the people to talk to.
They're the ones who were the Prague board?
Not necessarily.
Oh, I don't know. Okay, fine, great, Harlequins, brilliant. I'll chat to them.
Okay. I wouldn't mention I'm involved.
I try not to.
Takes a moment. Okay, then. just he writes down an address for you. It appears to it doesn't
do anything worse than being talked about.
You don't have knowledge local, do you?
I don't know. I looked at my character sheet, but no, I don't.
In which case, then, he hands you a dress that looks normal enough. It doesn't say, like, Temple the First on, you know, it's just street name and number. And he says, yeah, if you do make it to Rome, and if you all do make it out, I guess I will be waiting for you in, I don't know, near Atsugi, I guess. That's the nearest town to Okonomish. Yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Good. Have a backup team.
Yeah, I might do that.
Right, well, I'm going to go see some Harlequins. Don't forget to pick the stuff up from the Hephaestus lot.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't worry about that. Okay.
I won't.
Bye.
Travel safe?
Probably not.
Bye.
I'll leave.
And I will jump to Rome. If only it was that easy for you. So, to recap the plan very quickly, I believe that, Sasha, you're going around the back in an attempt to secure hostages, whilst everyone else basically stands on the front door and keeps yelling distraction.
Yeah.
We'll keep them talking, keep them distracted, yeah.
So, I will give you all the choice. No. Would you like to follow Sasha first, or would you like to follow the group first? I can't follow both at once,
what
you see.
What is this, Bandersnatch?
Choices are bad.
Well, I mean, so...
would you like to die now or die later?
Die now! Die now!
A couple of things. We were going to split up, wait approximately half an hour, and then attempt to call each other on the mobile stones to coordinate beginning. Also, before we split, Hamid will probably suggest a signal, just on the off chance. It seems unlikely that it'll go this well, but on the off chance you get all the hostages clear while we're still talking, to basically do a drop call. Or two very quick drop calls as like a they're out signal, which we don't have to actually speak to each other.
Yeah. What's the ringtone on the mobile stones?
It's hello.
No, it's a buzzing, isn't it?
Do 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 boop bo do boop bo do boop in Einstein's voice, sure.
It's not do 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 them.
Maybe it's just him saying, can you hear me now, over and over again. So in that case, then, we will say that you've already split up, and we'll say that you're trying to do your check-in. Okay. Whoever calls first, do your call.
So the other thing is we were going to say is that Einstein kind of stays a little bit behind us and tries to remain uninvolved and out of sight if possible, but also...
tries not to get killed and take the only way out with him.
Yes. Yeah, but we also need him to be near enough that we can... help him if necessary, so that's quite difficult.
So that if he explodes, he takes other people with him.
Yeah.
We want him to be hiding behind a close pillar.
Yeah.
He's your big barrel of explosives. You don't want him at the front, but you need him nearby.
Also, I probably need to warn the paladins that if I'm like doing distracting, keeping talking stuff, I'll probably lie a lot, and they should do their best not to contradict me.
Oh, no, you can't lie. That's evil, that is. Lying's bad.
I know, but this is for a very good reason.
No. See, I covered this, right. Thing is you can't do bad things for good reasons, because when you do that, the good reasons end up being bad things, yeah.
Depends on the virtue that you're using.
Oh, no, I've got loads of virtue, yeah, but you can't lie, because that's not...
Yeah, you can't lie, but I'm allowed.
He's not a paladin.
Do you want me to roll bluff?
Yeah. Ed may have 20, a dump stat, and 26. It may involve sense motive. He's just like, he takes a moment and then he gives you sort of the big grin of like a light bulb going on in his head. Oh, no, right, yeah. Yeah. He looks to Azu, who's just like, oh, yeah, hey, normals,
Azu,
right?
Politely back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's why it's important that you just, if they ask you questions, just try not to say too much.
Right, yeah.
Because you're not allowed to lie. So.
No, that's fair. You have
to let me do it.
Right, yeah. No, yeah. 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 Einstein is sort of hearing this as he's backing into his sort of like hiding spot towards the entrance, just like, wow. Wow.
I'm quite proud of you're not allowed to lie, but I am.
Einstein is regaining.
It's true, though.
So, yeah, Einstein's holed up in, let's say, like a gatehouse at the base of that hill that would lead up the sort of route up to the, let's say, estate, for lack of a better word, and Sasha's long gone round the side. Everything is set as it's going to get.
Okay, last thing, they might have traps. We don't have Sasha with us. We've just got to do our best to spot them. But the good news is that they're almost certainly just not expecting anyone to come here, so they might well have not set any up.
Like, they'll be expecting us, though, because they told us to come.
No, they didn't.
They didn't tell me to come here. No one told me to come here.
That's very true.
Okay. They said to stay away and to talk to them, and we're doing the thing they told us not to do.
But they knew we would.
Well, maybe.
You don't say your loved ones are in danger and then not expect people to come and get them.
But they don't know how we're getting around. They don't know how long it'll take us. We might still catch them by surprise.
Well, that's...
We've got to hope.
Plus, you know, they might be really squishy.
That's what I'm counting on.
Like, if they're dead squishy, you know.
Okay, so... Everybody ready?
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
Sasha? Sasha?
A voice comes from inside the stone that isn't Sasha's.
No!
It just keeps chanting Latin. Does anyone have any knowledge that might be relevant? Maybe a couple of languages? Any ancient languages they've got?
No. Well, we knew that was possible. We said we had a plan in place for if that happened.
So what did she say?
It's gonna go really well.
So Grizzop, you are heading to the seedy part of Damascus. You can tell because...
Wow. She knows people playing slap bass on every corner.
Honestly, for Damascus, a lot of it just seems to be things like, interesting, no public works here, no fountains, no...
Ah, this is where the poor people live.
Almost. For what it's worth, like, it doesn't appear particularly rough insofar as, like, no one's trying to give you trouble, you're not seeing shady deals in alleyways. Mostly it's empty.
Sure.
Like, abandoned empty. Like, people have closed up and gone, no water, guess we leave now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's quite deserted. Eventually you find yourself at the address that you were given, and you see what appears to be an empty pub. Not pub, empty... What's the word?
Bar?
Yes, thank you. I literally forgot the word bar. There we go. I was about to say saloon.
Please make it a saloon.
So, yeah, you...
Howdy, pardon.
You see what appears to be, yeah, an empty bar with boarded windows, and it appears to be shut up.
Knock on the door.
Also, it appears to have no name, like the sign's torn off and stuff.
One of those cool bars.
Yes. Mm. Knock on the door.
No one answers. Give me a perception check.
14.
You see that there is someone observing you from the opposite building up on the first floor. Like, think sort of like blinds pulled down a little bit to have a look kind of thing. But it also could just be someone looking.
I turn around and go,
you with this lot?
The eyes disappear.
Hammer on the door again.
No response.
Fine! You made me shout it! Here to see the Harlequins!
Oh! Absolute perfect stuff. Wonderful.
A couple of moments of stillness pass.
I'll shout it louder! I'm here to see the Harlequins!
I feel like you're about to be like, me, 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 me.
And I get a little flip.
I think he was expecting the door to open just before he said it the second
so
time.
So the alleyway at the side of the building that was opposite to you, you see someone come forward wearing a hat, look left and look right. No moustache.
So suspicious.
But they've got a big white hat and a collar pulled up. Like, they are terrible at this. Like, really, really quite bad at this. And they kind of look around, and then you see them run off in the opposite direction, back down the alley.
Run after them.
So, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to do an entire chase scene.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers, I don't think this character is physically capable of that kind of thing. So, what we're going to do is to make this work, we're just going to do opposed fortitudes.
Cool.
Because otherwise it's going to get really complicated and I don't want it to be.
I mean, we don't have any extra 20. Content.
You run them down so easily.
Like, the next stage, like, shooting them in the ankles.
Like, really easily. Like, you catch them as they're hopping the fence at the end of that alley, one leg over each side.
So, I have a tactic. So I run up behind them, put my hand through their legs, grab their belt and pull down.
They fall.
Ah!
What languages do you speak, Grizzop?
I speak English, Goblin and Dutch.
In a language you don't speak... Panicked noises and begging.
Look, Just calm down. Calm down.
I'm not going to do an impression of a language I can't speak, so just...
Calm down.
In Dutch.
Harlequins. You?
You're getting basically nothing from them.
I'll pat them down and see if they've got any documents or identifying features.
They do have a sort of piece of parchment on them, mm-hmm. written in a language you don't speak.
Cool.
They
what does it look like? Is it like the signs around here?
It seems to be a scribbled note from someone.
No, what does the language look like?
Oh, the language, yeah. It is...
The local language.
It is Arabic. Presumably that's what he's yelling at you.
Which seems fair.
Well, begging at you, grovelling at you. Sure. That's what he's grovelling at you. He was also carrying a very cheap knife and a sort of sealed wax cylinder.
I'll break open the wax cylinder. Or
okay.
Pick up the wax cylinder, go to break it and watch his reaction.
He kind of looks and goes quiet, but doesn't say anything.
Open the cylinder?
It appears to be locked in like a password ciphery kind of way.
Open it!
He just kind of gestures at you like... Mm-hmm. He keeps pointing at the handwritten note that you can't read, going,
I am not built for this.
No, you are not.
Ever pray really hard to your god and be like...
I mean, there are specifically, like, things that allow you to pray for divine guidance, and it pretty much turns into the GM going, oh my god, it's that one. It's that one there. I don't believe Grizzop has any of them. I'd have taken note.
Yeah, no, I don't. I smash it on a wall.
The cylinder?
Yeah.
It shatters, and you have a sort of faint acid smell, like vinegar or something, is released. It shatters. There may have been something in it, but it appears to be dissolving whatever it was.
All right.
Grab this.
The word plot drifts away on the breeze.
Should have given me something I can't remember. I will grab this individual,
yep.
Drag them, as long as they're willing, because, you know, I'm still small, back to the door of that bar.
I should point out, although this person is human, they are super scraggly looking, quite thin, very, very clearly, like, dehydrated, and also short to boot. Like, there's, in terms of, like, body mass, they are distressingly close to Grizzop for a human.
Sure.
Easy to drag along.
Actually, I'll also grab a cup from my bag, create water over the cup, and give them the cup.
Oh, that shuts him up. He drinks slowly, and then just starts gabbling at you in a language that you don't speak, but much more affably.
Then I'll lead him back to the bar door.
Yeah, he follows you.
Hammer on the bar door.
And then he kind of looks at the water, looks at you, sort of looks left and right, and then just kind of gestures with his head round the side.
All right.
Kind of waggles the cup at you in a sort of eyebrows raised.
Yeah, right.
Great water.
He's great. He's gabbing along, chatting away. He leads you around the back, and then he leads you to what is effectively might have been close to a beer garden at one point. It's now full of, like, detritus, like a rusted bin, that kind of thing, a broken swing. He gestures to what appears to be, like, a broken mattress or something across the middle of the garden. He's just like... Yep.
This wasn't what I was thinking.
Gives you a thumbs up. And he's like, yeah, so good water.
Pointing at a broken mattress.
Yeah, I say mattress, you know what I mean, like a sacking layer with, like, stuff in it.
No, I thought you meant mattress because you said mattress. I'm sorry for thinking about
Technically, I realised as I said it that it can't be like a mattress because of the period.
Sure,
it is.
Sorry, it's some sort of bedding. Obviously, it's been used as
bedding. Bedding is the word I also forgot. Alex also has lost parts of his brain last night, apparently.
I'll check the bed.
It becomes easily apparent when you check the bed that there is a trapdoor underneath it.
Ow! Thanks!
Give him a thumbs up and go down the trapdoor.
He goes, runs over, sort of gives you back your cup. He kind of gestures for you to hand him the handwritten note.
Yes.
He holds it, points at it, and clearly says something along the lines of, this is really important, and then gives it back to you.
Thanks!
Put it in my pocket and go down the trapdoor.
And I'll take a break there.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
And welcome back. And I think it is, let's jump in with Sasha. You are round the back of the building. You've managed to easily get your way back to around where all of the walls had, you know, collapsed downwards. Ooh. And you are there now. From this point, you are entering unknown territory where you haven't scouted out ahead. So what are you doing?
I am like the spiders that are clever do. I am sitting there for ages planning my route up. So this is, I suppose, a perception and a stealth check, working out how...
Yeah, okay. That works. Let's go with
planning. I don't know why I picked the one creature that, like, but they do. They just sit.
No, they do. They do. Give me the perception check first.
20, not natural.
That's fine. Now give me the stealth check.
That is 34.
Okay.
Off
a 9! Yeah.
Be warned, the times they are a-changing. Let me check something.
Oh, no.
No!
Last but not least, mm-hmm. Could you please give me a climb check?
25.
Good set of rolls. Okay, so at the back, you take a moment and you really plot out how is this going to work. Not just how do I climb up there, but stuff like, do I want to be in at the first floor? Do I want to be in at second? What's going to be most useful here? And you realise... despite how crumbly it is, go with what you know. It might actually be worth going top floor and working down, because you go like, did assassinate that person jumping from a roof. And that time, I mean, yeah, last time I was on a roof and nearly died, but that was a fluke. So, like, yeah, that checks out. And you
on average, roofs.
On average, roofs equal good, not bad. Most good. So you start climbing, and it's an easy climb because of the nature of the brickwork. So, like I said, that first rubbly bit, it's a bit exposed. You manage to get up without too much issues. And then when you start climbing the actual building, it's positively easy. The bits that haven't completely caved in are so pitted and pockmarked with age that it's trivial for you to get up to the actual roof. So you made it up to the rooftop, and immediately it becomes apparent on the roof this was the right call, because among other things you see a still there, albeit like the glass and so on has gone, massive sort of domed skylight type deal. Again, you have no knowledge history, so there's no point going into it. What's left of a dome is still there, and you know that you will probably have a good view of the majority of inside from there.
Nice.
It is worth mentioning as well, from this point, you would be able to have a really good lay of the surrounding land as well, if you chose.
Yeah, look at some stuff.
But it's kind of up to you.
Yeah, stuff.
Give me a perception check.
That is...
Does this power a knowledge local roll?
Sasha's literally...
28.
At an eagle point, doing eagle vision.
You know what? Yeah, give me a knowledge local as well. I'm making you do all the checks for this. I don't know why. I'm going to info dump you. Why not?
That is 31.
31. This is useful. Ooh. So even though you've got stuff to do, you're like, this is probably the best chance I'm going to get to memorise as much of this city's layout as I can. If we have to leg it on foot and things... that would be really useful time spent, even if it costs you a couple of minutes. Just take the time to learn the layout. It becomes clear, one, Rome's huge. Rome is enormous, like disappearing off to where the haze is, and the haze is wrong. Like, your visual distances are slightly distorted, so you can't, like, you have been up high places before. You chilled out with gargoyles multiple times. Like, this isn't right. In terms of the layout, it becomes very clear that, yeah, you reckon that you would be able to find your way around at this point. Not to, like, perfect exactitude, but certainly you won't get lost. And last but not least, you also notice that from a high enough point, you're very much at sort of ground zero, insofar as right at the edge of where you can see before the haze just becomes a real problem. The buildings are more whole. So the more close to the centre of Rome it is, the more broken down things are, with the exception of, like I said before, this one building which is stood up better than it should have.
Oh dear. Suspicious.
You also see there are a number of very large flying creatures, maybe two or three. They are flying solo, so they aren't near one another, and they are dotted right at the edges where the more full buildings are, not in the centre. There doesn't actually appear to be
the Nazgul.
Anything living.
Taken wing.
There doesn't appear to be anything living, and there doesn't appear to be anything moving this close to the centre. There are just those big things way far off in the distance around the edges.
Well, you know that you can't see everything now, don't you? Oh, can't see anything. Must be safe.
Sasha muttered. What next? I'm going to stick with you a little longer.
Going to look over the edge of the dome thing and thus try and see what's going on inside.
Okay.
Or something about very dangerous things.
What are you rolling?
I assume it's a perception check.
No.
And a stealth check.
It is a stealth check.
Okay. Well, that was a... Is that six?
I think that's a nine again.
I think that's a nine.
Yeah, that's a nine.
So you peeking over the dome, I'm guessing.
Yes.
So you approach the dome and you peek your head over. At the bottom that you see...
Tiny little eyes.
Just the eyes. You're clearly overlooking an atrium of some kind. Okay. Oh, God. Because the period, it's an actual atrium. Yay!
Is Caecilius in it?
And Quintus! And whatever the dog's name was.
No, that was Pompeii, guys.
So, let me get this right. Draconis est in atrium. No. So, looking over the side, you see...
Conjugate!
There is a large, extremely broken mosaic laid out across the floor. It has huge cracks running through it. It's not evil!
Is it moving around like magic?
It's not! The mosaic is broken, discoloured, and you can't tell what it was meant to depict, just that it is there. Upon it are stood... four robed figures. Their heads are bowed, and they all are sort of stood in a circle of what was presumably the centre of this mosaic and
are
isn't anymore.
Different heights.
They are all the same height.
Okay. Not our lot.
And in the centre, there's some weirdness which is very difficult for you to make out from this angle. I'm going to go on, I'm getting there.
No, it's just unknowable weirdness in the spook capital of the world is worrying.
There appears to be what Sasha would describe as magical wibbly-wobbly stuff, because, don't know what it is, in the middle of them. It is moving. It is not moving, like, running around the place. It is... The best way I can describe it is, like, you can see a vibration. Have you ever seen... Yes, like, have you ever seen smoke and then there's, like, loud music playing and you can see it moving with that, with the sound waves and the rhythm?
Awesome.
It's like that, but there's no smoke. The actual air is doing it.
This ritual is so metal.
And it is moving in a sort of whoomph, 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 like, random rhythm that doesn't seem to have any pattern to it.
No, it doesn't.
And it's expanding, yeah. It's expanding and it's shrinking. All four of them then immediately look up at you and give a big cry. That, again, it's been a while. I can best describe it as sort of like a good shout. Yeah.
And also Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh,
right?
Oh yeah, full. Whoa. full like yeah, he's got it.
Or rather, I drop a bomb on him.
Of course you do. Give me the attack roll. Are you dropping it into the wibbly wobbly or at one of them specifically?
Into the wibbly wobbly.
Into the wibbly wobbly, okay.
Destroy the wibbly.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
It wibbles and it wobbles, but will it fall down?
12.
Okay.
It's probably enough to hit a stationary target from directly above it.
The man's not wrong. You drop your bomb. It falls into the wibbly wobbly, is obscured. Doesn't go off.
Oh.
And then...
Does it... Oh, no, it's good. The bang's going to come from back somewhere else.
Sasha, give me a will save, please.
Oh.
The best save. Followed only by death saves.
That was only a six. Yeah,
10.
I'm going to jump to the rest of the party in row.
Do we hear the scream?
You hear the scream from the centre of the building.
Too late! Let's go!
All right, yep. Evildoers! He's kind of running, tripping over his cloak, throwing off. Evil, beware! With the... Oh, Apollo's going to get you! Oh, and charges. Can I please get everyone in initiative?
Really hope that Ed is an absolute combat monster.
Me too.
He might be. Okay, so can I please get initiative scores from people?
9.
Yep.
7.
Yep.
21.
Yep.
A theoretical 11.
Good. Thanks, Ben. I'm a fool. Hamid, you are up. So, to describe the layout, at the moment, you can see a dark entrance to a building. An avenue that you can sprint along.
I move 20 foot forward, because that's my move speed.
Yep.
And cast Mage Armor on myself, crossing my fingers.
Good. Sasha, I'm going to describe things for you.
Oh dear.
Oh no.
A new sort of wibbly wobbly seems to appear between you and the original wibbly wobbly.
Does the bomb fall up out of it?
But this one's quite brightly coloured. That would have been way cooler than what I've done. I regret my decision already. It is
very, very sort of brightly coloured, but in very, like, positive, warm tones. So it's like sunsets and tequila sunrise drinks and that kind of thing. Like, very, very warm oranges and reds and yellows and so on. And this wibbly-wobbly kind of expands...
And fires of Hades.
I didn't say that. And then it expands, and it seems to be, like, looping coils of colour, etc. It's very pretty, actually. It's very, very pretty. And you just find yourself really interested in how gorgeous and intricate this design is. And I'm going to leave it at that. Meanwhile, Ed bombs it right into the middle. Another thing happens that no one can see. Sasha, all that really happens is that pattern gets bigger.
Oh, God, it's an explosion.
Something else happens.
I don't know. They're just holding her.
Azu, you're up.
Everyone after Ed.
So, I am actually going to take the time now to describe what Ed, I suppose, but mainly Azu as our player, can see.
Thank you.
Having come into the building, you see immediately, like, you're stood in the doorway. It is a very large, quite long atrium. It has a pair of pillars up at the front, big, thick, like, 10-foot across pillars, stone ones that disappear up to what's majority of still the ceiling. You can see that dome up at the top. And additionally, sort of around the wibbly-wobbly, you can see the cloak figures. They're definitely human-shaped. From this angle, the wibbly-wobbly is a tear in the world. It is about 10 foot high, about 3 foot wide, and its shape keeps vibrating randomly in a sort of like almost stop motion kind of, you know, that kind of shutter speed movement thing. One of the creatures is facing the rift and looking upwards with a hand outstretched, and there's that thing, that glowing pattern there between the floor and the ceiling. For the players, all of the others are gone. Obviously for Azu, oh, a bad person and a thing. That must have been what it was all along, presumably.
Well, you know, I'm not quite that stupid. But I am probably going to try and chop that guy.
Hamid, you're up.
Can I see into the room yet?
No, there is something very weird happening with the lighting, which is that the second that you're under a sort of porch, it's dim, but you can see because there's light coming in from the dome. But Hamid, you can't. It just appears like black. You can just see Azu's like back and Ed's back.
I am going to double move. I'm not going to run.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to get there ahead of the paladins.
You still are not able to see into the room.
That's fine.
But there's clearly like, oh, that's some kind of magical nonsense. That's what that is. Okay.
Magical pish-posh.
The creature that everyone can see suddenly turns, sees Ed and Azu, and then apparently flees down the nearest corridor, behind the pillar, out of sight.
Okay.
They are now effectively off the board. The pattern still appears to be moving, etc. Ed uses the charge action.
Oh no.
No!
And charges the wibbly wobbly.
Edward!
He screams, "Die, evil doer, for I will!" And then disappears.
No!
He ran through the portal, didn't he?
Oh, the fool!
He disappears.
Okay. so that's important. Does he, like, blink out of existence or go through a thing?
For Azu's benefit, you know, there's a sort of vibrations in the air and so on. He first enters those vibrations and it sort of makes his form waver a little bit, and then it's clear that the closer he gets, the far more extreme those vibrations are. He doesn't appear to like cry out and disappear. He just charges, he gets kind of obscured by all the vibrations, and then there's no Ed anymore. There's just the shaking tear thing. His cry doesn't even get cut off insofar as like a scream or anything. It's just a "Die, evil doer!"
No, I'm going to confer with my companion.
Follow the enemy. We don't have time to confer.
Sasha?
Yep.
You saw a nasty squid thing flee.
Luckily, you know that pattern? It's getting closer.
Lovely.
And it's brilliant. You know what? It turns out it's got a sort of fractal thing going on. You know those curls and loops, right? They're made of curls and loops.
Appraise.
I know, right? In fact, you know what? Give me an appraise.
17.
Oh, right. Yeah, it might be God.
Which god?
All of them, apparently. It's wonderful. Azu, you're up.
Azu swears in Orcish, but she has only just met Ed.
I don't speak Orcish, but I know what that was. Something universal.
Yeah, there is.
And Orcish swear words translate better than most.
Okay, so Azu turns to Hamid. Ed's gone, but someone ran away down the corridor. I'm going to go down there.
That's your 6 seconds.
That's all you. That's all that you. Can you, say. You've used that's all it. The time available.
Okay.
You could stand still for another full turn and say some more things if you'd like.
No.
I wouldn't do that either. I think that'd be very silly.
Okay.
What are you doing? I'm just forcing you to second guess everything now. Oh, you're going that close to the Wibbly Wobbly?
Ignore the bad.
Ignore the bad man.
You can get to there with a double move action. You then can't. You I'm can't gonna... run because it's not a straight line.
Then that's what I'm going to do. Here?
Yeah. So she can see down the corridor from there.
Oh, dear.
What do you mean, oh, dear?
Could you put number two there next to number one? Number two's readied action goes off.
I'm going to die.
Could you please give me a will save?
Oh, you should be okay at this, right?
Who knows? It's a d20, isn't it? That's 21.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty certain. Yeah, you're good. You're good. So it gives another sort of body snatcher's cry. You get this weird tunnel vision for a moment where, like an oncoming migraine, you know, the colour washes out and everything goes very, very narrow.
Oh, dear.
And you manage to shake it off. You can't read body language underneath robes. That's what happens.
Okay.
Maybe that's intended. Who knows?
I get screamed at.
Yes. At which point...
What do you mean he's gone? Where are you?
I love the disjunction between when Bryn's in full hammer, he's like, "Aah!" And then it's just this calm so comes calm. Over his face and he goes, I move this place, I take the defensive stance, I make sure to activate
item. Slipping in and out of character.
It's lovely.
I take a move action to where I can finally see the room.
You can see the room, you see the wibbly wobbly, you see Azu staring down a corridor. You don't see anything else other than what I've already described of the room.
I would like to assess the Wibbly Wobbly using Knowledge Arcana.
The Wibbly Wobbly that's high up or the Wibbly Wobbly that's at the bottom? There are two Wibbly Wobblies.
Oh, probably the one at the bottom first.
Okay.
That's more naturally my own. Will that take an action or can I do a second move action while I'm doing that?
I'll give you a choice. You can take a second move action and get a first impression glance, which I'll allow you a Spellcraft Knowledge Arcana, sorry, but with... No, actually, it would be Spellcraft in this system.
Either one, yeah.
It'd be Spellcraft, but with a penalty, or you can take the time, and I'll give you a little bit of a bonus.
I would like to move and take the penalty.
That's fine. Okay, give me a Spellcraft check.
24.
24? Ooh, you are close. You are very close. Let's have a look. You are not sure what that is. Your takeaway from this is above your pay grade.
Sure.
The issue with Spellcraft is sometimes things happen and they're not even spells.
Yeah, that's fair. That's why I assumed it would be Knowledge Arcana. But basically, yeah.
Yeah.
That, I don't know.
That is almost like having no knowledge and just accepting that stuff turns up in your head ready to go occasionally doesn't give you everything you need.
Beg to differ.
You know what I will do? I'm feeling very generous. Because I like people taking a non-combat thing in combat and taking the time to look at things. I'll also allow that roll to apply to the Wibbly Wobbly that was above.
Sure.
It's a general situation. Yeah.
General Wibbly.
That is...
I'm assessing the situation.
That is a classic hypnotic pattern.
Classic
hypnotic pattern that has almost certainly been used to incapacitate someone on the roof.
Who could that be?
A well-cast one. Interesting that it's working apparently with no complications. But yeah, it's just a hypnotic pattern. It's not even that particularly dangerous.
Well, interestingly, as soon as we stepped inside this building, the first spell I cast had no problems at all. Unless that was just you forgetting all the mechanical stuff you've been doing to us in Rome so far.
Look, it's paying attention.
I think I didn't notice.
I thought I saw you roll a dice.
That was Ed's initiative roll, which he'd forgotten earlier.
So I genuinely thought that was him checking if it
no,
was.
No, I'm
so
paying very close attention.
Oh, I was so glad you're on my side.
You don't want him as a GM, it's horrifying.
You should try talking to your god, Azu.
I'm just going to yell at her.
Oi! 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 Help! Where you been? Give me a hug!
That's just how Aphrodite prayers go. Anybody? Oh, yay!
So, number one, please.
Order, like, may peace be with, peace be
backs with away to the edge of the map. Azu, give me a will save.
Roll well. Yeah.
Yeah, 30.
Natural 20.
Natural 20 plus 10.
Yeah, nice.
I mean, she should basically be immune to more of the same effect from either of those two now.
Really?
Well, there's supposed to be a penalty for repeatedly trying the same action.
Yeah.
If it's failed. So.
Exactly.
And a natural 20 on one is like, that should give you a bonus of some kind.
Sasha? Mm-hmm. The pattern went away.
Aww.
Oh, look! There's Ham. Oh, look, there's Azu. Oh, everyone's gone. Oh, this is bad. This is terrible. What you do? You know what? Yeah, I'm going to end the episode there. I've never ended it with someone about to describe in halfway through, but that's too good to end on. Too good not to end on, even.
I believe that Sasha coming out of the hypnotic effect feels exactly the same way that I do now.
Well, I guess we will return next week. We'll follow.
We'll pour some tea into Lydia and hope she's in a better state for next episode.
I'll just save the world.
See you next week, guys.
Bye! Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
What is going on?
Well, Sasha's over there. Oh, no, over there, and over there. So.
Oh, no, so is she? Oh, no! You
I miss you when you're not here, Helen.
I don't miss you.
I want to hire you to follow me around in conversations and react to things.
You should have told him he'd missed
it. No, Chekhov's drums.
Oh, that would have been much better. I should put Chekhov in this and then have nothing happen with him. He just turns up, says hi, and we never return to it.
I just really want to do a retake of Chekhov's sums. So we'll do forced love. It's really good.
All right, Lydia, off you go.
Chekhov's sums.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Hello all, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu from Rusty Quill Gaming and the host and director of Enthusiasm. Today, I'm here to tell you about The Program. The Program audio series is a science fiction anthology podcast set in a world where money, state, and God are fused into a single entity. Every episode is a standalone story featuring ordinary people inhabiting this extraordinary world. And for them, it's not the future that is terrifying, but our present. The Program is sometimes funny, sometimes poignant, but it is always smart. Find out more about the program at www.rustyquill.com or www.programaudioseries.com or search for The Program Audio Series wherever you listen to your podcasts. Have fun and enjoy the episode.